Hello, Pastor Sam here. Welcome to Our City Church's YouTube channel. We're so glad to have you. If you're looking for encouraging messages, you're in the right place. Please enjoy today's message and make sure to like and subscribe and comment and share it with a friend so it can encourage them too. Now, enjoy the message for today.
We're just so thankful that you're here today and grateful that you're here today. You decided to spend this day with us. And the theme of this service, as you can tell, but it's called Being Still. And the title of this message is Still. From Genesis to Malachi, that's the Old Testament, there were 50 specific prophecies, and there were many, many more about Jesus. Isaiah told us 700 to 800 years before to be expectant. There was a Savior that is coming. He wrote this in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, come on, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Of his increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon his throne of David and over his kingdom to order it, to establish it, in judgment and justice from this time forward, even forever. Some people were hopeful, but maybe they had lost their expectation and their excitement. Some were expectant, some were excited. Something big is about to happen. He's telling, hey, this is what's going to happen. Something big's about to happen. I remember when I was a kid underneath the Christmas tree, there was five of us, and I had the biggest present under that tree. I mean, I think big, I don't even know if it had a ribbon on or not. I just know it was big. And I remember looking at that thing. I didn't know. That's when Christmas was fun. You didn't know what was inside the package until you unlocked it, right? Come on, anybody else? Now we got lists. We know what. Give me these 10 things on Amazon. No, I didn't know. But I was excited, and I was expected that inside that box there was something big, and I was about to unbox that thing. And Christmas came along. It was called a moon racer. It was fun. That box was cooler. Anybody ever play with a cardboard box when you're growing up? Oh, Lord. No, y'all kids don't even know what you're talking about now. But they saw something big, and they thought something big was about to happen. They thought it was going to look like this. They thought it was going to be a kingdom. They thought it was going to be royalty and power and government and throne and takeover. That's what they had in their mind. But from Malachi to Matthew, which is the end of the Old Testament to the New Testament, heaven was still. Heaven was silent. Heaven was still and silent for 400 years. Some called it a divine silence. And they said it was a stillness in the heavens, the spiritual stillness over all of the earth. There was no prophetic voice. There was no new scriptures that had been written. They were under control of the Roman government. Israel's faith was being tested. And many people were getting discouraged. And worship was empty. What do you do when you don't hear, when you don't feel, when you don't see him moving in your life? What do you do when it feels like God is a million miles away? And you feel like, I said this a couple weeks ago, your prayers are hitting the ceiling. You don't even know if anybody is listening. What do you do in those times? We all have times like that. When our hope is weak and it's gone. And what happens? We start to doubt, we start to fear, and we start saying, God, where are you? Why is this happening to me? Come on, I'm not the only one that's felt like this before. Why is this happening to me? We've all been there at some point. And they may have been feeling that way. That may have been the way the people were feeling when nothing that they looked around was happening. All the prophecies of Jeremiah and Isaiah and all of the prophets were so long ago. Come on. They'd almost forgotten they even existed. There are promises that God made in your life years ago. And because it's been so many years ago, you've forgotten the promises of God. Listen, when God says something, he says it's yes and amen. But they have probably forgotten because it had been 400 years. God had promised them a Messiah. But there was a period of silence a stillness, you might say. There was a long, distinct pause. Why do you think that was it? Glad you asked. I think it was because God wanted to emphasize, listen, what he was about to reveal. Sometimes there are a large pause is a place where God can insert, man, something's about to happen. I want you to pay attention. I've not spoken for 400 years, but there's about something big's about to happen, and you need to get your eyes and ears open. He was about to speak the most powerful word that mankind will ever need to know, Jesus. Listen to this. In the stillness, God was working out his master plan. But let's look at this plan and see why it might have been a little unsettling. You got Mary and Joseph. I'm going to tell you why. Luke 1:28. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary." The angel told her, "For you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David." Mary had to still herself in that moment, don't you think? Her heart must have been racing. Her mind must have been going all over the place. What in the world is this angel talking about? Who am I? She had to start doubting herself. She had to start thinking, I'm young. First of all, I'm a virgin. And what about Joseph? What's he going to think about this? How am I going to be treated? Back in that day, it was a lot different than it is nowadays. And what about Joseph? I'm sure he had to calm himself down and be a little still, didn't he? Because in Matthew, it says this. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born to his mother, Mary. Was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. He was a good dude and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. Joseph must have been saying, "Wow, I didn't see that coming." How do you handle life's curveballs? How do you handle situations that hit you all of a sudden? You didn't expect it. It kind of came out of left field. How do you do that? His human view, he was angry. He was hurt. He might have said, "Oh, she's betrayed me." He's heartbroken. And he was humiliated. "I cannot be seen in public because look what's happening." And people are not dumb. They're going to do the math. And back then, he might have even been cut out of his family. He had every right to feel this way. He was expected to break off the engagement. And that's exactly what happens to us. Our flesh says run when it gets hard. Culture says get even. Come on. We live in a culture that says if you did eye for an eye, yeah, you better get it back if you can. He could have wanted revenge. He could have publicly embarrassed her. He could have banished her. She could have even been stoned, y'all. I'm sure he had to calm himself down and be still. But the good thing is, even though they didn't see it coming, even though it didn't turn out the way they expected it, they stilled themselves and said yes. So many times a simple yes to God can calm your spirit. So many of us have been going through life trying to figure out how to get this way and how to get that way. God said, if you'll just start saying yes to the small things that I'm telling you, God's telling you a lot of things in your life. And if you would just start saying yes to him, you would eliminate a lot of worry, a lot of doubt, a lot of things that you've been going through by saying a simple yes to him. Mary responded in Luke 1, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Joseph did this. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. We're looking at the plan. We got simple people, but they had faith. They said yes. Can I tell you this much this morning? God will take your willingness. He'll take your obedience. over your talent, over your looks, over your charisma. He'll take all of that by a simple obedience and saying yes. God can use anybody. I'm talking to a bunch of whosoever's in the room today. God can use anybody if you are willing to submit to him. God loves to take the ordinary and do the extraordinary. He likes to take these small things and turn you. Oh, Jesus. That's for somebody in here right now. I can't do that. I can't. Yes, you can, because you're the perfect candidate for it. Your limitations are God's chance to shine. Look at Rudolph. I got a nose like Rudolph. It doesn't beep, but Rudolph had a chance to shine in the moment. But everybody else called it a limitation. I ain't going to preach Frosty to you here in just a minute. Your limitations are God's chance to shine. Here is what God unveiled to a hopeless world. The setting was anything but still. The town was busy. There was taxation going everywhere. People going crazy, rushing around all over the place. There was no room at the Holiday Inn. I even took a Motel 6 back then. But there was a stillness in a strange place. There was a stillness in a stable. Don't be afraid of small, still, humble beginnings. Look what Luke 2 says. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus was born into obscurity. He was born unknown to the world at that time. He didn't have the best accommodations, as you can tell. He was in a barn. And he was fully human. He felt what we felt. That's why Jesus was sent here, to know how we feel so he could relate to us when we're cold and angry and bitter. He came down to our level to understand us and to be with us, God with us. Following Jesus may seem lonely at times, and maybe you even feel rejected at times. You might find yourself in a low place today, but let me tell you something. That does not mean you have to stay there forever. So many people are playing the pity party all of the time. It's you're doing it to yourself. You can pick yourself up and you can dust yourself off and you can move forward in God. Oh, that's for somebody this morning. That does not mean you have to stay in that position. Jesus, his environment did not define him. Does your environment define you? Little did the innkeeper know that something bigger was going on in the barn. Yeah. I ain't got no room for you, Jesus, but you can have the barn outside. Little did he know, while everyone was sleeping in comfort, something amazing was going on in the least expected place. Jesus didn't enter the world in comfort. He didn't enter the world in convenience. Listen to me. He doesn't enter our lives looking for the pretty place, for the easy place, for the comfort place. You just got to make room for Jesus just the way that you are. Come on, people say, when I get it together, I'll come to church. No, you won't. You need to come to Jesus, and then you'll get it together. I used to say, I'll serve God when I'm older, when I can't have any fun. I won't even tell you that journey. I think we just got to make room for him just the way that we are. And what happens is he comes in and changes us. When we create that place where something new is being birthed, birth is a sign of life. God is trying to birth something in your life. You may not be aware of it, but others are. Come on, somebody is seeing your birth, even though you don't feel it. Even you don't see it. They're seeing the things around you because they're seeing a new creation being made. God, you're in a process. God is making all things new. Some are farther along in the process. Some need to stay in the process. Some of us, oh, Jesus, the process is hard and long. But stay, even when you don't feel like it. Silent and still times can be very important. The silence between Malachi and Matthew was not a void. It was a season of preparation. Listen, God was aligning things for the perfect moment in history to send his son. Look at what Galatians 4:4 says. You're getting some Bible today. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. This verse reminds us that God's timing is never random. It's always on purpose. Come on. Just as God was working things during the silent, still years, he's working things in your life right now. Even though you don't feel it, you see it, he's working. What can we learn through these times, through these still and silent times? Trust God's timing. We wait, but we have a hard time waiting for days, for weeks, for minutes, for seconds. My wife says, will you do this for me? If I don't do it within 36 seconds, I'll just do it myself. I was going to do it. Come on, man. Sometimes we don't do it, though, do we? Come on, y'all later are like, yeah, y'all say that, you don't do it. We often want God to act on our schedules, but his timing is perfect. Just as he waited for the set time to send Jesus, he waits for the right moment to fulfill his plan and his purpose in our lives. You got to remember something. It's not 400 years. 400 years, can you imagine that? Of no voice, of not hearing what you've normally been hearing from people speaking out. 400 years. Preparation often happens in the silence. These times remind us that waiting seasons, listen, are not wasted seasons. That's a good one. I got that one. I didn't come up with that one. I didn't steal it. I borrowed it. Waiting seasons are not wasted seasons if we allow it. We can waste a season. Come on. We can waste a season with a bad attitude. We can waste a season by being depressed all the time. We can waste a season that God's trying to move us through by our own things that we do in our own lives. A waiting season is not a wasted season. In the quiet times, you got to trust that God is shaping you. Even when you don't see the immediate results, God is working behind the scenes, even if we don't hear it or have clear evidence of it. He's always at work. He never takes a day. Well, he did take a day off a few years ago. But he's aligning things for your purpose. He's putting people, come on, y'all. He's putting people in your place. He's aligning events up just for you right now. Again, it's not going to be 40 years, but it may be a little longer than you want it to be. God is going to give you opportunities that you cannot even imagine. And here's the thing, God's promises are sure. The promises he made in the Old Testament about the Messiah were fulfilled in Jesus. And he assures us that God's promises are reliable. His word does not come back void. If he said it once, he's going to fulfill it. Faith grows in silence, and in silence, in the season of silence. We're going to talk about seasons coming up in the next month or so. It challenges us in those seasons to do what? Don't lean on our own understanding. We get ourselves in trouble because we try to figure it out. How's that working? We try to figure it out with the best plan we can have. And God's already kind of shown us sometimes in the plan the way we need to go. But we got it all figured out, God. That's why he says, don't lean into your own understanding. Lean into what I have to say. Faith is tested in quiet times and often emerges stronger and stronger and stronger the more you show it. Maybe you're in a season where you feel like God is silent distance, like the Israelites. Maybe you feel like nothing's happening right now, but the story of these silent years reminds us that God is never, ever, ever inactive. Trust that God is, he's in your waiting. The silence that you're hearing sometimes is not the end of the story. It could be the start of a whole new story. Come on, anybody want to close the chapter on your book sometimes? You want to go, I wish I could just write another chapter to my book. Come on, y'all. She resonated with that. She wants to write a new chapter in her book. He's about to write something new in your life. But you might have to wait a few minutes on it. You might have to trust him a few minutes on it. You might have to give over what you want and your desires to see what he wants. Let's all stand if we would, please. Sweating in this suit. I want you to focus. Focus, Grasshopper. In the hustle, in the busy, sometimes chaos of life, we have to be still and we have to reflect on God. At the heart of this season is the good news. It's not the good news of presents under the tree. It's not the good news of a big meal, which I'm about to eat later. It's not even the good news of spending time with your family and your friends. This season is about the good news of God's love to us. The word says this: we were lost and we were without God. But the good news is that this season that God sent Jesus to seek and to save that which was lost. He sent Jesus to seek and save you and me. He came down. I used to sing this old song. I mean, you know, if it was just for me, he would have done it. I ain't singing it. I don't know the words.
Okay.
But listen to what 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6 say. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, that man, Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom, to purchase freedom for anyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. We think about the word salvation. It's a used word. You know, if you've been in church long enough, you've heard this word. But salvation means that Jesus came to rescue us. Come on, you can't solve all your problems all on your own. Without Jesus, you're trapped in your sins, you're trapped in your addictions, you're trapped in yourselves. Come on, we've tried to change over and over and over and over, and a lot of times we can never escape it. But the good news is Jesus came to rescue us. Come on. Jesus also came to recover us. Oh, come on. We just talked about writing a new story. We all want to recover parts of our life that's been lost, right? We want to recover our strength, our confidence, our relationships, but most of all, we want to recover that relationship with God. Jesus came to recover the things the enemy has stolen.
Come on.
And recover the things we've given over freely. Come on, we want to blame it on the enemy all the time. The enemy came and stole this, he stole that. So many times we have given it to him freely. He didn't steal anything. We opened our hearts up. We opened our minds up. We opened up everything of our own selves. But let me tell you the good news this morning. He's here to recover everything you messed up. He's here to recover every mistake, every bad choice, everything. He wants to recover you fully this morning. Come on, this is good, y'all. Salvation means he came to reconnect us. Many people think God's going to come down hard on them if they come back. God loves you, and he's sitting on the porch. Just like the prodigal son's dad, he's going, oh, I can't wait till he gets home. But sometimes in that season, he's chasing you. He's whooped your butt a little bit to try to get you back to that place where you were before. The Bible says he chastens, he whoops those he loves. So if you ever had a God whooping, you know what that means? He loves you. But also, if you've made those mistakes, don't let guilt, condemnation, shame, regret, all keep you. Don't let him keep you from coming back to the Father, because he is standing there with his arms wide open saying, come on back. just the way you are. Yeah, you were broken, you're dirty, but I want you just the way you are. Jesus came to earth to reconcile us, to reconnect us. When Jesus came, he gave the greatest gift. He gave himself. He offered us salvation. But here's your part. Too many people celebrate this holiday, this birthday, you might say, without ever accepting of the free gift that he gives you. He lays it out. It looks good. It's got a ribbon on it. But so many times we let that gift just lay there dormant. And he wrapped himself in his best. And sometimes he's just saying, all you got to do is unwrap the free gift that I'm trying to give you right now. These houses are about to be a mess with all this wrapping paper. Somebody's going to have a big fire and it's going to go up in smoke. But I'm going to ask you today, if you've never unwrapped the gift of salvation, he's here today. He's offering it to you freely. He's giving it over to you. He said, I paid the price. I bled. I took the stripes. I want to give it to you freely. And it ain't just for Christmas. It's free all the time. So this morning, these altars are going to be open. I'm going to have a call to action to say, listen. Oh, I just heard this. Maybe you made a decision when you were 10 years old. I just heard this, y'all. Sorry. Maybe you made a decision when you were 15 years old, but somehow life has just gotten in the way. Circumstances, situations, choices have come. God is here this morning to accept you back into the fold. To say, yeah, I know you left, and you left dirty. You left the bad way. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here with open arms to welcome you back. If that's you this morning, come on, let's go around this altar. Let's not start this new year the old way. So I offer that gift to you this morning. Maybe you've accepted the gift of salvation, but you've allowed the enemy to come into your mind, into your heart. You've allowed him to build up walls. And come on, God wants to reconnect with you today. He wants to reconnect with you, even though you might have messed up. He's here today with open arms to gather you in. Come on, don't let this altar call just be an altar call. Don't let this just be the end of a service to start another one. Don't let it be that. Let's let it be a new beginning in Christ. Behold, all the old things have become new. This morning as we sing, let's respond.
If you made it this far, we just want to tell you that we are so blessed that you took the time out of your day to spend it with us. We love you so much. And if you want more resources, please go to rcitychurch.online. We love you so much. Have a good one.